thankfully Nick's helping me out here today, and he's putting a picture of this lady up here, and her name is Sylvia Rose. And I'm just gonna tell a little story about Sylvia Rose to try to make a point or two. Sylvia Rose was a music teacher, a songwriter, and a poet in Michigan. And back in the 1980s, she was teaching at a secondary school in Michigan. And she loved her job and loved her students and became involved in their lives. If those of you who have been school teachers understand what I'm talking about. It's hard not to really get involved with your students in their lives. You care about them. And I understand when she had a problem teaching school to these secondary students at a Christian school. This was a Christian school, but she was just constantly getting depressed that her students were not listening to her. She would try to teach them about morality and things like that, but they continually had problems with drugs, sex, and alcohol. And she knew they would leave scars for the rest of their life if she couldn't change that. And it just continued to the point where she finally just kind of gave up. She was just unable to change their attitude. She became so depressed that she decided she needed to take a leave of absence from her job in Michigan. It was just really got to her. And so she decided to leave and go back to where she had taught before just for a visit to Southwestern Christian College in Texas. And she was still very depressed. And so she was so weak and drained spiritually, she couldn't get up enough energy to go to the lectureships at night. I mean, during the day. She would go at night, but she couldn't go in there day. She'd just stay at the house of where she was staying. And she would spend time, since she was a music writer, she would spend time at the piano trying to compose some of her thoughts. You know, it was her care for students that really made her leave Michigan to go to this on this trip. And I do understand that. I, as someone who's still teaching, someone who's taught 40 years now, and I think I've taught over 8,000 students now, is you care about them. That's one thing, reason I do the Facebook deal. I've connected with hundreds of my former students, and it really, really is a wonderful thing to be able to keep track with them and see how they're doing well in life. I love doing that. But the flip side is I've also got an app on my phone that's the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department. And sadly, it's because I check every day, about once a week, one of my former students has been arrested for something. You're probably surprised how many of them grew up right here in Delrata and how drugs have affected their lives. But it hurts, and it still hurts. So that was how she was feeling when she went to the Bible lectureship out of Southwestern Christian College. And she would stay in the house during the day and start putting together her thoughts to a song that she would eventually write. And here's some of the thoughts that she put down on paper and eventually wrote in a song. She wanted to be restored to her previous emotional and spiritual condition. She recognized she needed to change. She says her heart was tired. She wanted to draw strength from the Bible. She wanted God to revive the fire in her. She wanted her desire to do work to increase. She asked God to renew her courage. She wanted to replace doubts and fears that she had with a bold faith. And she prayed that God would renew her love and rebuild her faith and restore her soul. So she did that during the day, put those words to a song. She did get up enough energy to go back to the lectures at night. And at night, the rest of the story, the Paul Harvey rest of the story is, she wrote this song, and then one night she goes to the lectureship. And after the lecture's over, a young man comes up to her who's one of her former students when she taught at Southwestern Christian College. And so she was feeling like she'd done no good with her students and she'd been a failure. This student handed her an envelope that she stuck in her purse. And she didn't have a long conversation with him, but she went home to this friend's house and spent the night there. And as she was getting ready for bed, she remembered about the envelope that the young man had given her. And so she opened it up, and in that envelope was a note, and it just said, I want to thank you, Miss Rose, for what all you have done for not only myself, but so many of your other students, and the positive effect you've had on our lives. And evidently he wasn't a very wealthy guy, but he had put a check in there, a small check to give her. And like I said, the rest of the story is that was what it took to kind of turn her around. And she eventually went back to Michigan, resumed her teaching career, and had an excellent career from that point on. And my question is this: how many of us have those same thoughts that Sylvia Rose had? If I go back and look at some of those things she put in her song, things like her heart was tired. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get really tired, just worn out and tired. Life's hard. Sometimes things just hit you right smack dab in between the eyes, and it's hard, and we get discouraged. She wanted to draw strength from the Bible. I think we'd all would like to draw more strength from the Bible. She wanted God to revive the fire in her. That's a word we don't hear much anymore, is revival. That's a memory I have growing up, was going to revivals with my father. You know, my father was a preacher. And we would, he'd drag us around during the summer, all these little country churches. Most of them were in Tennessee, where he was from. But I can remember driving up to the church, and there'd be this sign, that temporary sign that they'd had made, put up and say revival, and have his name, the dates, and that kind of stuff. Sadly, you know, we don't have that anymore. But back in those days, there might be a church that had 50 members, but for the revival, they might have 150. And it wouldn't be anything strange to have 30 restorations and 10 baptisms. And those days, you know, we just don't have those anymore. Probably mainly because most people, the attendance got so bad, they decided it just wasn't worth doing. And that's a sad commentary, I believe. This concept of revival is found all through the Bible. And those revivals did a good job of that. Gospel meetings did a good job of that. And I would say that, you know, maybe Del Rey is probably in a need for some revival. If I could describe Del Rey right now, I would probably say Del Rey are hot coals. A lot of good can be done with hot coals, and we're doing a lot of good. But for us to go to that next level, to meet the level that we really want to be, Del Rey doesn't need to be a hot coals. We need to be fire. And that's what I hope we can try to do is, through revival. She wanted her desire to work to increase. I hope we all have the desire for our work to increase. She asked God to renew her courage. I think that's a big one. As I evaluate myself, sometimes I regret that it seems like I don't have the courage I used to have. I saw something this weekend that made me rethink of something that happened when I was 16 years old. At the time, I don't guess I knew what I was doing. Looking back on it, and I think that took a little courage for me and my buddy to do it. I'll tell the story that my best friend in the 10th grade was Tony Allen's brother, Rusty. And Rusty and I, our other two best friends, were two guys named Alvin and Calvin McQueen. They were members at the Holt Street Church of Christ. We just kind of formed a good friendship, and they invited us to go to a revival. And it was back in the early 1970s in Montgomery, Alabama. And based on the house I was raised in, I didn't think twice about it, but the meeting was a gospel meeting in a tent off Fairview near St. Jude High School. And Rusty and I decided, yo, we want to go. And so we went. And I didn't think that much about, but back in those days, people didn't go, if you were white, over to Fairview and go to a tent meeting where you're going to be the only white people there. I mean, that's just the way Montgomery, Alabama was back in the 1970s. And that was one of the greatest experiences I had for a gospel meeting revival. The preacher was a man named Roosevelt Wells. He was from New York City. I remember that, and I just remember how powerful he was, but mainly how courageous he was with the things he would say. He told it like it was. He didn't pull any punches, and I will always remember that. And the reason I think about this old story is he was probably in his 40s back in those days, and I just noticed, like, two nights ago, in the Christian Chronicle where he had passed away at like age 87. But when I think of courage, I think of that man and how he stood up and he told it like it was. Sylvia Rose wanted to replace all the doubts and fears with the bold faith. I know we all at times have various doubts and fears of some type. And we should also pray that we want our love renewed and our faith rebuilt and our souls restored. Now, some of you here are on a mountaintop experience, and that's a wonderful thing. This is the highlight so far of you being in your Christian life, and that's great. But I'm going to take a risk and say that most of you are probably kind of like I am. There are times I look back in my life when I was just more excited. I'm just being brutally honest. There's mostly when I was younger, just different things that really felt like I was on fire about. And I want that to come back. Somebody made this statement not too long ago, and it was true. I have to admit it. And this statement goes like this. Before we can convert others, we must be fully converted ourselves. And that's what I want us to ask ourselves today. Are we fully converted? Why aren't we evangelizing more? Why don't we have more people here and baptizing more? It could be the fact that we need to do a little more evaluation of ourselves. We all, each one of us here, I hope today will individually ask about the fact that we need to be renewed, revived, and restored. Jesus asked the question, how can we draw back near to God? How can we rebuild the fire? And I think we can need to check the question, how can we draw back near to God and be renewed, revived, and restored? And I'm just going to mention one verse this whole time up here because I just want one verse that'll stick out like a sore thumb to you when I'm talking about that. And that answers the question of how to draw near to God. It's from James 4:8. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. There are a lot of other verses about that in the Bible, but like I said, I want that to stand out. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Of course, then that asks the question, how can we draw near to God? How do you actually do that? How do you draw near to God? And here are just some suggestions. There's many, many more, but here's just a few of them that I came up with. Because, you know, nobody in this room is immune for the need for some type of revival. Here's my suggestion, some of them. First one will be to evaluate your priorities from time to time. I think it's really good to sit down and just think, what are my priorities? And here are some of the things that I think we mess up. I remember growing up, my parents told me, you know, God was number one, family number two, your job was number three. I don't remember them saying a number four, but I'm going to add a number four because I don't remember my parents having hobbies. They didn't have time for hobbies. But we have hobbies now that in so many cases in our society in general have just overtaken God. I mean, that could include, you know, the different sports we do, you know, hunting, fishing. Politics is a new one that I think has taken a lot of control of people's lives and kind of kicked God out. I think our society has flipped it over where God is on the bottom now, and we need to try to change that. Another thing that I would suggest is be the best you can be and don't compare yourselves to others. And I try to make a little secular story about something I did that made me think about this. I've always had an interest in music, and years ago I was in two or three different little bands when I was in college and after that, but I never really played the guitar. And I wanted to, my goal was to purchase a guitar and practice that guitar and get to where I could play with the guys that I was in that band with like I was just one of them and be an accomplished guitar player. So I bought the guitar, practiced for a long time, about a year or so, and I was getting better. I thought, I'm getting pretty good at this. And about that time, someone asked us to do a reunion concert out at Faulkner. And so we were going to practice. And one of the guys invited all of us to spend the weekend at his house where we could practice for the whole weekend, a week or two before this concert. And I just remember taking my brand new guitar up there, relative new guitar up there, taking it out, pulling it out, and getting with those couple other guitar players and the other people in the band. And they were really, really good guitar players. And after about 10 minutes of playing with them, it hit me. I'm a terrible guitar player. And my reaction to that was probably what we do sometime when we are surrounded by people who are really, really talented. And my reaction was that I put the guitar back in the case, took it home, put it in a closet, and it sat there for 3 years. And about 2 weeks ago, I finally pulled it out again. And I played it a little bit more, and I'm still terrible. But I do have a couple of fans. I got a three-year-old grandson and a three-year-old granddaughter that think I'm pretty good. And that's, you know, that's good enough for me. But I think it happens sometime with all of us. We look around and we see this talented person over here who we can't just measure up to them with their talent, whether it's Bible knowledge, their scholarship, their speaking ability, whatever. And we get discouraged with that and we kind of just shut down. We don't need to do that. To be totally honest with you, we don't have a problem here at Delray to find the people to preach. You know, this is the most talented place I've ever seen as far as that. We don't have a problem finding people to lead singing. Bob's swamped with trying to figure out how to use everybody that he would like to. And here's a point we just would like to make from the eldership. And that is, if you see something that needs to be done, don't wait for somebody to tell you to do it. Go do it. There's some of you out here that do that quite regularly, and we really, really appreciate that. There's so many things that are done around here that nobody knows anything about. And there's certain people we can ask to do something, and we know they'll do it without any problem. One example was this Christian College Course Festival that's going on this weekend, tonight. Faulkner asked if Del Rey would be willing to house some people, and I said, yes, we would. And after I said, yes, we would, I thought, oh no, what have I got myself into? But I don't tell her I was mentioning this, but I thought, now who in the world could do this and get this done? And it crossed my mind, Judy Graham, that's who I need to ask. And you know what her response was? I'll be honest, most people would have probably said, well, let me think about it, I'll get back with you, whatever. You know, she looked at me when I said, will you do this? Helping us organize the hosting of families for this festival. She looked at me and she smiled and said, you know I'd love that. And that's the attitude we love. And we just want to say that you don't have to wait for us to tell you everything to do. There's plenty of work out there. We need more people doing some of the jobs that don't get the visibility of some of the other jobs. A third point that I would say about how we can draw near to God is to immerse yourself in the Christian life. A couple of the things are obvious that we've already talked about plenty, but they're the ones that we don't take advantage of the most. Praying. We don't pray like we ought to. We know that. But we should pray much more. We should study God's Word more. Terry was talking a while ago about how we spend just 2 hours a week, probably most people that come here on Sundays, studying the Bible. We need to spend much more time with that if you want to draw near to God. If you can, surround yourself with as many Christian friends as possible. Some of us have a huge advantage, like who work at Faulkner, Alabama Christian, something like that. Most of the people I'm around are Christian people, as opposed to years ago when I worked in the public school system, and it was kind of hard to find some people sometimes like that. But if you can surround yourself with Christian friends, that would be huge. And just one other little suggestion is to participate in as many church activities as possible. The idea that you're here, 80-something people here this weekend, is wonderful. Surrounding ourselves with our Christian brothers and socializing, fellowshipping with them. The things like lunch bunch, if you're in a lunch bunch, take advantage of that opportunity to get together with your Christian friends. And then just all the services, anything that, you know, happens here and you're expected to be here, you can be here. That's one way that certainly we can draw back closer to God. In closing, the last things I want to say is we've given a lot of attention to the numbers up on the board, and they are something we need to be concerned with. The numbers definitely have gone down over the last recent years. But I'd make this point. I don't see Del Rey as what I've heard a couple of people mention, you know, not too for long ago, was, you know, Del Rey is a dying congregation. I don't see it that way at all. I see it as Del Rey is a regenerating congregation. I mean, I can remember when I first came here 20 years ago, and I don't have the exact stats, you know, but the vast majority of the members were, I'd say, 65 and older. And unfortunately, sadly, some of those wonderful, wonderful people have passed on. And that's happened. That's, you know, just the major part of it. But then I think about how the fact that when we first came here, that education wing down there was nobody down there hardly. When I think about where to bring my kids to church, did I want to come to Delray or not? That was kind of something we had to think about. It was a ghost town down there, and that's changed tremendously. One of the things that got me more excited than anything is the fact that I may have a number off a little bit, but there's about 8 families expecting babies right now. That's pretty exciting to me. I was talking to Kathy Anderson about the youngest class we have, toddlers or whatever we call it. You know, they should have about 13 people in that class in a few months. I mean, that's not a sign of a dying church. That's a sign of a regenerating church, and I'm pretty excited about that. And here's the kind of what we would like to challenge you from the eldership. The elders would like to challenge you, as we challenge ourselves, to commit right now to renew our love, rebuild our faith, and restore our souls. Now I'm going to go back to the song that Sylvia wrote, and I want to let's actually sing this song. I know it won't be as good as the concert tonight that they'll have, but that's not the point. I'm going to sing it really, lead it really slow, because I want all of us to be able to kind of savor each thought and each word, to focus on what you're singing. It's a prayer song. I mean, we'll be talking to God as we sing this song. And I hope it's familiar with most of you. If you can go ahead and flick that up there. Maybe I hope you recognize the song, Restore My Soul. It's pretty familiar with most places. I don't remember us singing it a whole lot here, but hopefully, how many people know this song? Let me get a show of hands. We got enough to make it through, I think. If you don't know it, just pray it. And hope you won't worry about the person next to you, behind you, in front of you. As you sing this song, as you talk to God during the singing of this song, that you'll be focused on yourself. And that's the last thing I have. I hope let's stand and as we sing this song. And then when we're through with this, we'll be ready to do lunch. Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restored. My heart is weary, please help me, dear Lord. I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. Revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Stir my desire to work in your fold. Light in my heart, dear God, yours is grown cold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. Renew my courage, Lord, it needs restored. My cup is empty, refill it, dear Lord. Replace all doubts and fears with faith so bold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. Thank you.